Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody. This is the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, the right place to get the right information so that you can have the best-looking house on the block. We've got a lot of great information for you this week. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us. Yes, we're going to be talking about home improvement. Here we are, Danny, at the creeping up on the very end of January, so I suspect most people will be working on the inside of their home. A lot of painting going on. I've been doing a lot of painting myself after drywalling and priming. And by the way, if you've not bought primer recently, and I guess I hadn't, I was surprised how many different primers there are when I go out to the Home Depot and look on the shelves. And they're priced from like $15 a gallon. I bought one the other day. It was over $40 a gallon. And it's for different levels of hiding capabilities.
Yeah,
so depending on what you have, right? Depending on what you have to hide.
Nice.
I had some water staining, so I tried one primer and it didn't work. And so I went to the more expensive one, and it works beautifully. So in any case, that's my story. And so if you have a home improvement question, get in touch with us. We'll see if we can help you out today.
Definitely want to hear from you. It's very, very easy. You can send an email if you'd like. That's pretty easy. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. Or you can pick up the phone, 800-946-4420. Is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We're going to share with you a lot of calls we've gotten, a lot of emails. We're going to have live calls. We've got a lot of things going on here. And Joe, you're talking about the cost of paint. Yeah, I was not aware of, I stopped by, you know, of course, I'm still building my house. And so I decided, you know, the guy's doing a great job inside, but I wanted a little of the paint myself. So I stopped by and bought 1 gallon. I'm not going to say what brand it is. It is a very, very, very good brand. $41 for a gallon of interior eggshell acrylic latex paint.
Is that, I saw a gallon of interior paint for $60. This interior.
And
not exterior. I can understand maybe exterior where it's going to expose the weather, but $60, yeah.
But when he wrote it up and everything, I guess he thought I was a little smart aleck there asking, is that the installed price?
he said, yes, and you're installing.
I think he's heard that smart aleck remark before. But yeah, it's significant. Now, of course, you always have to think about paint projects and how much they can add to your house, inside, outside, any painting project. It can go a long way, but it also emphasizes a lot of those tricks and techniques to use less paint, to save paint that you have left over. All of those, we've got hundreds of them on our website at todayshomeowner.com. And Joe, I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad I have coffee. The International Builder Show and Kitchen and Bath Show,
right.
We put on, I don't know, we put 12 or 15 miles a day for 3 days straight, but we saw thousands of different products, all kinds of different things. I'm going to kind of have to do a little download and get all my notes together, but I'm going to share with you and share with everybody a lot of the trends that I saw at the International Builder Show. And I'm sure you saw a lot of our videos. We had dozens and dozens of videos that we posted on our website as well as on our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Pinterest. So you want to make sure that you check all of those out. We'll revisit that a little bit more next week. I want to read a letter, Joe. This is, you know, we have such a great community of listeners here on Today's Homeowner, and they listen, and then sometimes they have a great tip on their own. Here's one that might interest you if you're about to struggle with any type of wallpaper, and a lot of times that can be so frustrating. Now, Rick Newman from Fairfield, California wrote in and said, the walls of our living room and hallway were covered with really old wallpaper, which was extremely difficult to remove. Even after applying the wallpaper remover, it would only come off in just little small pieces. Plus, we were damaging the wall when we were trying to scrape off the wallpaper. We've all been there. I thought about leaving the wallpaper in place and just skim coating over the entire wall, but then I came up with a better idea. I troweled a light skim coat of joint compound over the seams between the different strips of wallpaper. Then I applied paintable caulk to the upper ends of the wallpaper where it meets the ceiling. Next, I rolled oil-based primer over everything, and the primer soaked right through the paper and helped adhere it to make sure that it adhered to the wall well. I then painted it with a good quality primer and paint combo. The job looks great, and we didn't damage the wall. Now,
wow.
This really, really makes sense soaking through the paper. But of course, if it were a vinyl paper, this right. wouldn't be a viable solution on it. But, you know, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, Joe, where you decided to paint over and you put a coat of paint on the wallpaper, and then parts of it will react and start coming loose.
Right.
Then you've really got to scrape it down when that happens.
Yeah, then you don't have any of the option. And if you do find yourself where you have to remove wallpaper, and you know, every time we talk about wallpaper, it's never about putting up wallpaper, right, Danny?
That's
I know
right.
people are
that's
selling
right.
wallpaper, but we only get questions about taking
that's,
it down.
That's true.
But if you're going to attack this problem of taking down wallpaper, invest in a little tool. It's commonly known as a paper tiger.
Uh-huh.
It's essentially a little round handle with three or four wheels on the underside that have little teeth on them. And all you do is just rub it all over the wall on the wallpaper, and it cuts little tiny perforations in the wallpaper. So when you put on the stripper, and you can go to todayshomeowner.com to find a homemade recipe for stripper, but when you put on the stripper, it allows it to soak through. And as Danny mentioned earlier about vinyl wallpaper, especially for something like that, because the wallpaper stripper just can't soak through it.
That's right. Well, we certainly love getting feedback from you, our listeners, and we make it very easy for you. The numbers and the contact I mentioned before, anytime, just pick up the phone and just tell us about, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, you know, if you have a little tip or you think of something, hey, I wonder if the guys know about this. Well, pick up the phone and give us a call and let us know about that tip that's worked well for you, just like Rick did from Fairfield, California. You can also send us an email, which is actually what Rick did here, by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. I'll tell you something else, Joe. We removed a little bit of wallpaper in the taping, the project that we did this week for today's right. Homeowner Television Show.
Was that a bathroom?
It was a bathroom renovation.
Right. Yep.
And the reason I'm kind of chuckling is because it's almost like a time capsule, because what happened is the homeowners had already stripped the vast majority of the paper off. But when we removed the large plate mirror, right behind it was two or three little strips of the old wallpaper.
Oh.
And man, did people really put that kind of wallpaper up back then? Just, you know, it was really grandma looking like. I mean, it really, right. it looked old and it needed to go.
Yeah, I mean, people put wallpaper over wallpaper just like you put paint over paint, but it's always a better option to strip it off. In fact, if you're thinking of putting up wallpaper, and I'm not against wallpaper, by the way, you know, in certain uses, I think it's just a beautiful choice, especially if you've seen some of the newer designs of wallpaper. But they do make strippable wallpaper, which means that if you ever do need to take it off, and somebody will eventually, it makes it a lot easier to take off. So consider that, too, if you're going to be putting up wallpaper.
You know,
wallpaper.
I saw someone online the other day that talked about using the removable wallpaper as a backsplash in their kitchen.
Oh, right.
And it was a vinyl type content. It looked pretty good, but she just said, I get bored easy, so about once a year I peel it down and put more up, usually just before the holidays. And I go, you know, that's not a bad idea to do that. It's not a bad idea at all. Great.
We have to invent like LED backsplashes where it's some sort of a digital
thing. It's just projected,
thing.
I know.
You peel and stick on the wall, and then you can, has like a program, you put up like a holiday scene, change the size of the tile. Wouldn't that be, get the work on that,
well,
Danny. When you finish your house, get
I'll
the work
you,
on it.
I'll tell you, I went to a production recently. It was a Las Vegas show called The Legends. It was at a small theater not far from where I live. And I was sitting there, and they had this elaborate set there. I'm thinking, this is a pretty small thing. And I kept looking, and I finally realized there was no set there at all. It was just screens. But they had projected that so cleverly, several different, wasn't just one projection, it was several different projections. And then as the production, because they had what they would have is impersonators of Tony Bennett, Lady Gaga, different people like that.
Right,
and they would change these scenes completely. And it was so real, you'd want to go up and touch it. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, the rear projection systems, which I'm a little familiar with because my wife works in the theater, is amazing, in which they hang this thing kind of like a scrim and they shine light from behind it. And they can make it look like a, you know, like an old Italian village or like the Golden Gate Bridge. Or like,
I know it.
It's really pretty amazing. And you're right. When you first look at it, it's like, how did they do that? And it's just light.
Yeah, and it actually seems to have layers. You know, it's not a flat
depth.
Thing. It has depth there, and that really makes it authentic. Okay, well, you can tell we're on fire today. We're ready to share with you all kinds of information. We're going to be talking about a subject that we talk a lot about, mold and mildew. It seems like inside homes, there's just so much moisture that's trapped. How, why, what's causing it? We're going to dig into that a little bit. We're also going to be talking about a bathroom remodeling project that's taking place. I also want to tell you a story about this project that we did this week and how we completely changed the look of this French provincial 1975 cabinetry, and we changed the look of it for about $30. It's unbelievable.
$30?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you more about that.
Was it rear projection?
No,
it looks like a really new kitchen.
Vanity. That's a pretty good one there. Let's think about that, Joe, and see if we can come up with it.
Okay.
And we'll just retire and go fishing. A lot of things coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When it comes to your bathroom, the shortest distance between outdated and updated is a trip to the Home Depot's Days of Doing Bath event. Like vanities up to 40% off, faucets from only $49, plus a wide selection of online bath products. Can't make the trip? We can deliver. It's a good time to be a doer and a saver. Now, at the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Limited time only. Event end dates vary by store. See store for details.
If your old kitchen's full of fumes and your bath's a steamy mess, they need a makeover, and you need to enter the Healthiest Home on the Block contest, brought to you by Brone Newtone and Today's Homeowner. The winner gets a healthy home audit and a whole house ventilation package, which includes a range hood, exhaust fans, and a balanced ventilation system. Plus, their makeover will be featured on a special episode of the Today's Homeowner TV show. See official rules and enter now for your chance to win the Healthiest Home on the Block at todayshomeowner.com/healthyhome.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I'll tell you, each and every week, my buddy Joe Truini and I myself have a great time here on the Today's Homeowner radio show, and we're so humbled by the fact that we have so many radio stations throughout the country. Here's one that we're so glad to be airing on each and every week in Oxford, Mississippi. It is WTNM 93.7 FM.
Hello to General Manager Rick Mize. Thank you, Rick, for putting us on the air there. Oxford is located in north central Mississippi, and it was settled in 1837 and named after the British university city of Oxford. And why is that? It's because the founders were hoping to attract a state university, which, of course, it did. Ole Miss is located, University of Mississippi is located in Oxford, and it was founded there in 1844, so it only took them a few years after being settled to get that university. In fact, Ole Miss, I'm pretty sure, is the largest university in Mississippi and a beautiful southern city as well.
It certainly is. A lot of big Ole Miss fans all over the country. And
I bet.
Certainly want to say hello to everybody listening in and around the Oxford, Mississippi area. We certainly appreciate that. Okay, we're going to roll up our sleeves and get going here on phone calls and emails. So get ready for a lot of information. We're going to be joined right now by Stuart, who has a question for us. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about this mold and mildew issue. Boy, it just seems to plague everybody these days. How is it affecting you and your home?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm seeing is that mildew growth on the ceiling right around all of the faucets in the bathroom, and also, strangely, along the drywall that's adjacent to the attic access in a hallway. And this has been going on for several years. I've never wiped off any of the mildew around the exhaust vents, but I have that area by that attic access, cleaned it off with Clorox water blend, and it just keeps coming back. On the top side in the attic, I've checked there. There's no water leak. There's no plumbing supply that's going across that area. So I just cannot figure out what is causing that.
Yeah, it is. It can be very confusing. You know, in one of my secondary bathrooms that I don't go in very much since my girls have all moved out, but I went in the other day and it just had a tremendous amount of mold and mildew all around that particular air conditioner register. And so, you know, I thought, okay, well, why is this a humidity a problem and so forth? And I went up in the attic and could see just a little bit of the insulation was torn, probably, you know, putting Christmas decorations up there and back. That was all it took in order to create that condensation to just drip a little at a time, soaking in around there, and it just was terrible. Now, we were able to clean it off, as you have, and so far, so good, because we completely recoated that, used a duct mastic to solve all of that. But, Joe, in a situation like this one, what do you think around that attic stairs? You think this is a similar issue with basically some kind of condensation taking place?
Yeah, well, Stuart, obviously, if you have mold and mildew, it's from moisture. And what people might not realize is that heated air has, you know, in winter, people typically have the heat on, even, you know, down south, and it contains moisture. And that moisture, if it gets up into the attic or through these vents, because, of course, the vents are open and to let air in and out for mechanical reasons, for air conditioning and heating, or in the case of the attic staircase, it's probably not sealed that well. But basically what you have to do is block that. First, go out and get Danny's favorite tool, an hygrometer, and check the humidity in and around there. Should really be 30 to 50%, you know, no more than that. And if it's higher, then you got to reduce it and seal. As Danny said, if the insulation's torn, if there's any gaps around there, and there almost always are gaps around registers and vents and attic staircases cut into ceilings, you have to just caulk them. You know, you can do it on the top side with foam, expanding foam sealant, on the underside with some clear or white caulk to match the ceiling. But that's what you have to do. You have to just stop any air from inside the house leaking up in there, because that's what's causing the moisture. And if you don't have a attic staircase cover. By the way, Stuart, thanks for sending these photographs, because it'd be hard to understand your problem without seeing these. But the attic staircase that comes down, if you don't have a cover over it, consider getting one. You can make one or you can buy one. They sell them at Home Depot. There's one that I've used that works really well. It's called a Batic staircase cover. It's like the word attic with a B in front of it. I'm not sure what that's supposed to stand for. But anyway, the point is, if you put that on top, it'll help insulate it from above and maybe stop that warm, moist air from going up into that space.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen those covers. I don't know exactly what you're referring to. Okay. I'll try these recommendations and see if that resolves the issue.
Well, let us know if it works.
Yeah, certainly hope that it does, because that's an aggravating thing that probably one of those things that nobody sees but you, but every time you walk by there, you're going to be looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely. It stands out to me.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today, and hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. That's the way it works. Just give us a call. Let us know what kind of challenges you're having around your home, and we want to tackle them with every way we possibly can. And if you'd like to send us an email, we're about to read a few emails now. You can do so by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This is from Joyce about vinyl flooring. I'm about to have waterproof vinyl planks installed in my home. That's a luxury vinyl plank is what the traditional name is for it. But now I'm hearing that they make a slapping noise when you walk on them. Is this true, and is there anything I can do to prevent it? Well, Joyce and Joe as well, I think she might be getting confused with a floating floor. Because there is a clickety-clacking, slapping noise kind of thing
right.
That can happen with a laminate floor that is floating across the floor. That's why they have the little cushion that goes under. It's usually like an eighth of an inch underlayment that goes under to try to reduce the noise. And yes, that will definitely make some noise as you walk across it. But I've installed a lot of luxury vinyl planks, and I've never had one of them make any noise at all, because they're all basically glued down, either with glue that's on the unit, on the actual material, or you put down glue with a notch trowel. But I haven't really heard any problems with that.
Yeah, the only problems I've heard is when it's installed as a floating floor, and it's typically because the subfloor, typically concrete, but it could be plywood as well, is not perfectly flat. And if you have high spots and low spots, the vinyl is going to kind of float over the low spots, and as you walk on it, it'll go down and it'll have that slapping sound. And we're talking about, you know, it's not going down at half an inch. We're only talking about, even if it's only, excuse me, an eighth of an inch, you'll hear that. You know, so If you're going to be putting down any floor that's not pretty rigid, meaning like wood or something, you really should float that floor with some self-leveling compound if it's plywood or concrete. Just make sure you're filling in all those low spots, and that would eliminate it.
There you go. Hey, real quick, I wanted to tell you about this bathroom vanity. And if you have a bathroom vanity or a kitchen cabinetry that has the grooves in it, the old French provincial type of grooves, that was pretty big back in the 70s, you wonder what you can do to improve that. Certainly, just like you would paneling, you could fill in all of the grooves and repaint it, and that would make a difference. But still, then you have just a smooth door. What we did is we found something I didn't even know existed. They called them craft strips, which were basically little strips of Luon plywood, very smooth. They were 1/4 inch thick, and they were 2.5 inches wide. We took the four doors off of this vanity that we remodeled and did a facelift on this week, and then we applied those to the front with glue and small nails to create a shaker-style door. Well, it happened to cover up every groove that we had in the door. Now, where the hardware was, since it would have been kind of out of place, we removed the hardware, of course, and filled in those holes and then reestablished the hardware on the actual shaker strip. But I'm telling you, for just $25 or $30, and just a tad of paint and primer, completely changed the look at it. And you'll stay tuned. We'll let you know when that show will air on Today's Homeowner. You'll need to check it out. A tremendous difference for very little money. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, and we're really glad you are. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Danny and Joe will be right back.
Need help with a project? We've got hundreds of videos to give you a hand. Go to todayshomeowner.com/videos to browse our video channel.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Are you fed up with the dated look of your wood furniture? Well, with the passage of time and exposure to sun, tables, windows, and cabinets can seem start to look a little tired and faded. Varathane interior gel stains are a great way to create a deep, rich color and instantly enhance the natural grain of the wood. The thick stain provides twice the coverage of traditional oil-based stains, and its consistency prevents drips and runs, so it makes it great for any vertical surfaces you might be working on. 1 quart covers up to 200 square feet and works great on even exterior surfaces as well. Just be sure to protect with polyurethane following its use. Now, to learn more about Varathane interior gel stain, log on to homedepot.com. All right, right now we're going to go right to the phone lines. Want to talk to Bob's in North Carolina, who listens to us on 105.7 WRGC, the river in Sylvain, North Carolina. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I was temporarily stunned. It's a pleasure and honor.
Well, good. Well, this is fun. It's fun being on the radio and talking about home improvement, and I hope everything's going well around your house.
Not too bad. Would be better if we get this shower updated just a little bit for my parents.
Okay. Tell us all about it and what you're planning on doing.
Okay. It's just a real basic 3x5 shower, putting in a pre-made basin or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And want to put up just the 4x8 fiberglass white plastic panels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not sure what to back it with. If you'd use 1/2 inch pressure treated plywood or hardy backer.
Okay.
And as far as what adhesive to put the panels onto that with.
Okay. So you're going to take this right back to the studs, I assume.
Actually ground up, because it's an older trailer. And so we're going back to the metal with on the floor, rather, with 3/4 inch plywood. And then some of you had mentioned with the studs, pressure treated, or because I'd read as far as doing like floor stuff with pressure treated that it might warp more so than not treated.
I don't think so. Not if you're gluing and screwing it down like you should be. I don't think it would be much of a problem. But on the walls, I tell you, you know, the cement backer board is going to be the best thing to go with. I mean, I have seen people use treated drywall, moisture resistant drywall. I've seen treated half inch plywood, but you know, it's one of those things you're not going to want to have to get back in there. So your best bet would be that cement backer board. I would glue it to the studs with construction adhesive. I would use screws. And then you do want to kind of do a little finishing on the seams, much like you would drywall, by just using some thin set adhesive, and go ahead and put some fiberglass tape on it, like you would, like you could use for drywall, and then you just smooth it out just a little bit so that you don't have any chance of that crease showing back through and kind of transferring back through the plastic panels.
Right, because they're thinner than if you had tile on it or something that would gap those seams rather.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, on the adhesive, again, using a construction adhesive, and we recommend Tight Bond adhesive, one of the best in the country. And instead of using a caulking tube of the material, I would actually put it on with a notched trowel. That way you get a nice even coating over the whole entire thing, and then you can just push it right into the fresh adhesive and, you know, push on it a little bit. It won't take long for it to tack up and to adhere very, very well, and you won't have to worry about that coming down ever.
Brilliant. What about the push and release method, if you will? I've seen where they put the panels up, kind of pull it back so it, you know, spider webs a little bit.
Well, Bob, what a great thing that you brought up there. We like to call it burping, that you're actually burping it a little bit, which, you know, basically you're introducing air into those fibers. And what Bob's talking about is anytime you're using construction adhesive, and we've used this a lot on applied molding that we've used on, like, creating wainscoting on dining room walls and so forth, that you glue it, you put it in place, and then you just pull it out just a little bit and then put it back. It seems to really help for it to tack up quicker. I think that's a great idea.
Well, fantastic. And pressure-treated wall studs, so we can put grab bars up later. Is that?
I would do that. And I would also consider, while you have the opportunity, to maybe put some additional blocking. Go ahead and make a reasonable guess where those grab bars are going to be, and then just turn. You could turn a 2x8 treated sideways, screw it in between the studs, and you'll have a good place there that you know that you can attach that grab bar to.
Brilliant. Real quick, last thing, the mud on those things, since Hardy Backer is more of a concrete-based substance, is it more of a mortar kind of mix, or is it regular, like, drywall spackle?
No, don't use drywall. Use a thin-set adhesive. It's a pretty generic type of thing that's used to glue.
Okay, for, like, tile and stuff.
Like putting tile down and so forth. It's the same material. You might mix it just a tad thinner than you normally would. And then you can use a drywall trowel to apply a 6 or 8 inch wide swath over all of the seams along with the fiberglass tape.
Excellent. And screw heads, not as crucial. I mean, if there's any big divot.
Yeah, you could hit the screw heads if you wanted, but it wouldn't be as necessary. But while you have your mud mixed up, it's pretty easy just to skim those out as well.
Fantastic. You're my hero. Can't believe I got to talk to you, and appreciate all the advice.
Anytime, Bob. We're happy to help you. And next time, I might even let Joe talk a little bit.
Nah, don't do that. We like your voice. No, I'm kidding, Joe.
He always says that, Bob. He always says that.
Hey, well, real quick, for the good old boys in North Carolina, it's Silva. It's over in western North Carolina, Cherokee, Bryson City.
Silva. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's Pennsylvania. That's a refrigerator or a stove.
Okay, we got you. Thanks so much, man. And have a great weekend, and look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, guys. Been an absolute pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bob. That's great. You know, one thing I didn't mention, Joe, and I know you're about to say that, is the advantage of him using a waterproofer like RedGuard.
Yeah, I mean, even though he's putting fiberglass over this, I would definitely apply a waterproofer. And if you're not familiar with this, it's basically like thick rubber paint, for lack of a better word. And you just roll it on, brush it on to the bare cement backer board, and that creates a completely waterproof seal. So if there is any penetration, hopefully the water won't soak through into the wall.
Yeah, that's well worth it. You can go to todayshomeowner.com and just put in RedGuard in the search engine box there. You can find out all about it and all of its many, many uses. Hey, coming up, we have a trending article about how to trim large tree branches. We're going to share with you a lot of information in just a few minutes right here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Do you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Are you tired of cleaning your shower? Let Wet & Forget Shower clean it for you. Wet & Forget is the quickest, easiest way to keep your shower sparkling clean. Just spray the shower top to bottom and you're done. Next morning, simply rinse it clean. That's it. Use Wet & Forget Shower once a week to tackle soap scum, shower grime, mold, and mildew stains. No scrubbing, no bleach, and no harsh fumes. Don't waste time scrubbing your shower. Pick up a bottle of Wet & Forget Shower at the Home Depot. For a $2 off coupon, go to homedepot.com/cleaningsavings. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, TiteBond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to TiteBond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit TiteBond.com or see them on Facebook.
If your old kitchen's full of fumes and your bath's a steamy mess, they need a makeover, and you need to enter the Healthiest Home on the Block contest, brought to you by Brown Newtone and Today's Homeowner. The winner gets a healthy home audit and a whole house ventilation package, which includes a range hood, exhaust fans, and a balanced ventilation system. Plus, their makeover will be featured on a special episode of the Today's Homeowner TV show. See official rules and enter now for your chance to win the Healthiest Home on the Block at todayshomeowner.com/healthyhome.
Welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We've got a lot of information to come at you here. And one of the things that we're finding from time to time, certain articles that are trending really big, really popular on todayshomeowner.com. I'd certainly encourage you to drop by our brand new website that we relaunched just recently. And you'll be able to take a look at over 4,000 videos, 20 years of Today's Homeowner television shows, and a lot more information. But one that we noticed was really trending a lot, and this is certainly good to look at during this time of the year, is how to trim large tree branches. Now, one of the things you want to do here is, if you've ever trimmed a large branch, improperly, then it probably scarred up the whole one side of the tree. Boy, it makes you feel so bad when that happens. So here's how you avoid it. Number one, the first thing you do is you want to cut a small notch in the bottom of the limb, 2 or 3 feet away from the trunk and about a quarter of the way through. This notch will keep the bark from splitting when you make the next cut.
Yeah, and the next cut is, they call it a relief cut, and you cut just beyond that notch that you made on the underside of the branch. So you just go just beyond that a few inches, and you start sawing through, and you want to keep sawing until the branch breaks free. And what's going to happen is when you cut all the way, the weight of the branch will, you won't have to cut all the way through. You'll cut probably about 3/4 of the way through. The weight of the branch will snap off and it'll fall. But because of that notch cut you made on the underside of the branch in step one, it'll break free. Otherwise, it'll peel that bark right across the rest of the branch down the tree, exposing it to damage at that point.
So now at this point, you have the majority of the weight off of that, and this is the final cut, the one that really matters. You know, it should be right where the branch collar, that kind of swollen bump that transitions to the smooth branch bark that you have, and you just follow the slant of the branch collar on the limb. And if you can't fit your saw into that at the right angle, then you can cut it from the bottom up. But it's very logical to get the weight off of it. Then you have a lot more control in cutting it nice and neat. So, you know, some of the common mistakes, you know, cutting the branch too short, leaving the branch too long, failure to make these relief cuts or something that you really want to make sure that you do it the right way. And this is a good time of the year to really look around and try to trim some of those limbs that may be a little diseased or getting too close to your house or your fireplace. Great time to take care of that. But just be real careful if you're cranking up that that chainsaw. Now, a few of the comments we got here, Paul mentioned a very good article. I'm sending a copy to my hometown public works department and my brother. Both seem lacking in good technique.
Whoa. Oh, boy.
Oh, Paul, I'm glad I didn't say your last name there. Wow. Wow. Here's another one Ron mentioned. The neighbor let his oak tree grow right on the property line, and it ate the fence. And now the roots are eating my foundation. I'm using what I learned here to kill everything on my side of the property line and more. So, you always want to have a good neighbor. And when you have those trees that are right on the line there, it's good to have a conversation about, the health of that tree, maybe sharing the cost. And, you know, you're certainly sharing in the raking of the leaves on both sides of the fence. So, maybe kind of sharing the overall maintenance of that would be a good idea as well.
And be sure you know exactly where that property line is.
Yes.
I believe you have to check with your authorities in your town. But I believe legally, if your tree grows onto my property, I can slice off those branches. I can cut
that's
off
right.
anything that overhangs. And so that's why you see a lot of trees with like branches only on one side.
Right, right.
So you got to be really careful about that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, a question along these lines. Larry writes, I found your site by a web search, and the instructions to trim at the branch collar is really great. What I was looking for is what to do if the collar was cut back and a donut hole has formed. So I assume there, Joey's talking about just the look of that hole more or less there,
right.
And what you can do. I really don't know anything that you can do. The tree's going to work toward correcting the look of that, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He might be referring to if the branch, I've cut branches where I didn't realize it was rotted and it rots right through in the inside of the center of the branch and entering the tree is hollow. You know, because of disease or bugs or whatever. And which brings up another question is, okay, so you cut the branch and they make all kinds of branch sealants. Some are spray, some are brush on, you know, which you're supposed to brush onto a fresh cut to seal it and prevent any disease. But I've also heard that that's not necessary. So we should really talk to an arborist. Maybe I'll call a local arborist and see what his feeling is because we should address that. Because I wonder if it's really necessary to seal it, in which case, like Larry, in this question, maybe you should seal it with something, but I don't know if that's even necessary.
Well, I'll tell you, I read quite a bit about that. I guess it was about a year ago because we were doing actually on the television show and having to trim some limbs, and I checked on that. And
right.
The majority of the articles that I read from a number of the very reputable sites said, don't worry about it, that the tree's natural resin
right.
and so forth will seal that up. And if you paint anything on it, it will prevent that natural healing from occurring. And they said, you know, because the sealants will say you need to seal it to keep the bugs out. But
right.
it's just to the contrary of that. They said it may encourage the bugs because the natural resin will not be able to form. So that's what I've heard mostly.
So. Okay, yeah. So don't seal them, I guess. Is
exactly, exactly. So anyway, we'd love for you to participate on all of the many, many articles. We put up articles almost every day on todayshomeowner.com. So check them out. I think you'll be surprised that a lot of the questions that you may have about your house right now are already answered and being talked about with our todayshomeowner.com community. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you how you might be able to win the Braun Newton Healthiest Home on the Block contest. It's a fantastic contest that includes you and your home being on an upcoming episode of the Today's Homeowner television show. I'm going to tell you all about it when we come back from this short break here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Stay with us. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
There's never been a better time to be a doer. Not with the Home Depot in your corner. And new digital tools on our Home Depot app, like image search. Snap a picture with our app, find just what you need. And our product locator will not only tell you how many we've got, it'll lead you right to them in the store. Oh, and if you can't make it to the store, we can deliver. From time-saving tools to game-changing innovations, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
Looking for easy home improvements? Instantly refresh the look of your bathroom by changing the grill on your bath fan or by adding one with a decorative light. If your mirror stays foggy after a shower, it's time for a new bath fan altogether. The Braun Upgrade Kit lets you convert your bath fan to a new one in less than 10 minutes. In the kitchen, consider replacing your range hood with a Braun under cabinet hood. It's so easy to install, you don't even need a contractor. Learn more at Braun.com. Braun Newton, come home to fresh air.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
How would you like to have the healthiest home on the block? Well, let me tell you all about this special contest from our friends at Braun Newton. It's happening right now. One winner of this contest will receive a whole house ventilation prize package that includes a brand new kitchen range hood, bath vent fans, and a completely full house balanced ventilation system. The winner will also be featured on a special episode of the Today's Homeowner television show. That's right, the Today's Homeowner crew will come to your house, install all of these items after doing a healthy home audit, and will install everything so that you don't have to do a thing but just relax and be comfortable and know that the indoor air quality in your home is going to drastically be improved. So if you'd like to have the healthiest home on the block, enter today at todayshomeowner.com/healthyhome for your chance to win. The contest runs through February 2nd, and it's brought to you by our friends at Braun Newton. You need to enter today. Again, that's todayshomeowner.com/healthyhome.
Do the rules include buying lunch for Danny and the crew? Because I think that's a contractual obligation.
We should
isn't
put
it?
That in there. Yes,
yeah,
we
I
should.
Think that'd be a good one.
And also specify the type of food. You know, we don't want any old greasy burgers. No, we need something good and local wherever we may end up. So best of luck to you on all of that. Right now, we're going to switch gears, send it over to my buddy Joe Truini for our simple solution of the week.
Okay, Danny, we often talk about the advantage of using oxygen bleach to clean things around the house. Mm-hmm. And oxygen bleach has a couple of advantages over regular chlorine bleach, including it won't stain your clothes if you spill it on yourself. And also, it doesn't dry as quickly. So if you're using it to kill mold or mildew, it'll do a better job. But it's also great for removing stains. And you can remove stubborn stains, particularly from upholstery and carpeting, by making a spot cleaner from oxygen bleach. And oxygen bleach, that comes in a couple different forms. Most of it is in a powder form. A lot of people know it as OxyClean, which is just one brand. Ajax, I think, makes one. But what you do is you mix, you put 1 tablespoon of oxygen bleach powder into 1 cup of hot water. And that's really important, by the way. When you're using oxygen bleach, you always dissolve it in hot water and stir it really well until it dissolves, because if it's not completely dissolved, you won't get the right solution and it won't clean as well. But anyway, so then you just dip a toothbrush, get a new toothbrush. If you're buying one, buy a stiff bristle toothbrush. They make them in different softnesses, and you're supposed to use a soft one to brush your teeth. But for this case, get a stiff bristle brush and just dip it in the spot cleaner and just scrub the stain. And wait about 5 minutes or so and blot it with some paper towels, and if the stain's still there, you can do it again. And again, because it's oxygen bleach, you're not going to be bleaching out the color, but hopefully you will get out that stain.
Yeah, a lot safer way to take out that stain. That's another good, simple solution, and there's 500 of them waiting on you right now if you'd like to do a little binge watching at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. These are video versions of the simple solutions that you hear every week here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Well, that's pretty much going to wrap up this first hour. It always amazes Joe and I how fast these hours go, because we just have so much fun and we have so much information to share with you. But if you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, that's okay. Head over to todayshomeowner.com and you won't miss a thing. That's todayshomeowner.com/radio. And also, remember our very popular Today's Homeowner podcast. You can find out all about it and download that wherever you get your podcast. And you can go to todayshomeowner.com/podcast for more information. I'm Danny Lipford, along with Joe Truini. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford is produced each week by Three Echoes Productions, a division of Danny Lipford Media. Today's Homeowner is heard each week on great radio stations across the country, online at todayshomeowner.com, and through podcasts available from iTunes. If you'd like to reach us, you can send us an email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask or call us anytime at 1-800-946-4420. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford.